WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's the third edition of Coastline Beneath the Surface. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. A dozen or so people, diverse in age, ethnicity, and political leanings, have agreed to be part of a year-long experiment in civil discourse. Each month, we bring you a conversation with members of the group. Our aim, to observe whether the tone and quality of the conversation changes as they get to know one another over the course of the year. And because it is a grand experiment, today will be a little different. Instead of talking with them in small groups of three, we're in a round table setting of sorts with all six. We're also changing the way we tackle the discussion. In the first segment, we'll examine how the experiment is going from their point of view. In the second segment, we'll unpack another controversial issue, the U.S. border wall. But if you've tuned in for the first two discussions, you know the goal is not to debate the finer points of the issue. It is, rather, to use a person's position as a jumping-off point for a deeper understanding of that person. We seek not to change opinions. Rather, we seek to understand how a person arrived at their opinions, which is not usually through an academic analysis of an issue, although some of us like to tell ourselves that it is. In the last segment, we'll share some listener comments. And while we're not doing these shows live, we encourage you to weigh in after the show. We might use your comment as a point of discussion for a future show. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or find us on WHQR's Facebook page or Instagram. Today, we're talking with Catherine, a nurse, Lee, an actor and woodworker, Lydia, an artist and mom to a toddler, Carl, retired from the Army and a teaching career, now a singer with a local band, Joe is a psychologist and hypnotherapist and is married to Catherine, and Bruce is a retired engineer and is very involved in his church. Welcome, BTSers. And you can actually say hello.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Now, our first item on the agenda is basically, how do you think it's going? Catherine.
Well, it's all relatively new, and getting acquainted is probably the very first step to what, you know, we've been doing. I haven't been part of the recordings, the first two. This is my first. So it's all new and exciting, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Have you listened to them?
Yes, I listened to the first session. I was tied up with business a couple of times. And I found it very interesting, but I wanted to hear a little more dynamics. That was basically my first reaction to it. I think everyone was a little stifled, probably because it's brand new. I think as we get along and go along with this whole experiment, you know, we'll see a difference in evolution of our feelings and reactions and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Carl, what are your takeaways so far?
I think, like Catherine, because it's new, I'm still formulating my ideas and my feelings about this whole project. I think it's interesting, and I think it could be very productive, but I'm still trying to get a grasp the ideology of it.
Is there anything that has disturbed you about what's happened so far? Or, and this is for anybody at the table, is there anything that's happened where you've kind of hit a wall in your own head or gotten frustrated or thought, shouldn't go like that? Lydia.
I wouldn't say I've just been disturbed by anything so far, but I was happy and pleasantly surprised in the first conversation that I was a part of. Being from the West in a place where there isn't Confederate monuments, my approach to the civil discourse was to read newspaper editorials, was to read a little bit of history and try and formulate a personal opinion because, you know, growing up in a small town in the West that is somewhat racially homogenous and without Confederate monuments, you know, I didn't have a strong or visceral opinion about the local monuments. But having listened and been in the room with Carl, who had, you know, a very visceral feelings about it and talking about it from a personal point of view, really impacted me positively. And, you know, I felt like he's right. I mean, he's completely right. And I got a lot of perspective about something having walked into a room with none. So far, I feel like it's been an uplifting and meaningful experience.
Lee, what are your observations so far?
I like the potential. You know, there just seems to be a lot of potential here. And I think we've just barely opened the door. I've just now sort of learned people's names after meeting with them 2-3 times. And so I'm barely know anyone. And that's so I don't have a real chance to engage them as a person. Haven't had that chance yet. But I think that there's a dandy potential here for us to get beyond this sort of superficial niceness that certainly I tend to bring to difficult discussions. And I hope that we can get there to that deeper understanding of where we're, literally where we're coming from, in a civil and empathetic way.
Similar observation that Catherine made about this veneer of civility mm-hmm. that is largely there because people don't know each other very well yet.
It's also there, Rachel, I think, because civilization is a thin veneer. And when we scratch beneath it, when you find the real person, it's often not only surprising but disturbing. I think that I have a low regard for the human race. I think they're capable of such great cruelty and evilness that I think that thin veneer is a very important thing.
Joe, when you think about what you've heard so far, do you have any urges to take it in a different direction, or is there anything you've heard that you found frustrating?
Not really. I guess like the others, I'm just trying to feel my way as to what's happening. I know out of the first session, we got to know each other a little bit better, and interestingly enough, after we got off the air, Carl and I just chatted, and I really feel that he and I, because of the interaction, have developed a mutual respect of each other. And we would be comfortable in any setting just enjoying each other's company. I would figure that we're probably 180 degrees opposite as it relates to you know, where we stand politically on a lot of different issues, but yet...
And why do you think that you're so different? Is it based on what he said during the discussion about Confederate monuments?
A little bit about that and getting to know his background and feeling comfortable with him. And I think regardless of our views, I think we've developed a mutual respect of each other. And I can see that happening as the interaction gets more and more in depth. In terms of the issues, you know, I'm looking forward to discussing some of them and see where we go from there.
Bruce, this is your first participation in an on-air discussion. Have you listened to the first two shows, and do you have observations, or have you heard from other folks who've heard them and have talked about their observations?
I listened to the first session and found it very interesting. I've not had a chance to listen to the second session. My feelings on entering into this experiment are very mixed. I have seen great things so far. I think it has amazing potential to unlock some really meaningful conversation in a very careful way. And the feelings that I have, first of all, are some fear, some trepidation. Joshua Johnson this morning, I caught one line on his show, and it was about if the outer self, the veneer, ever meets the true inner self, that could be very dangerous. But that's where we're going. We're, as Lee says, moving away from the veneer and moving towards our feelings.
Well, tell us what you're afraid of. What's the worst that could happen? What would be a disaster?
Well, you know, worst is different for me than what worst is for you.
Yes.
But we all have these deep feelings, And buried in those feelings are prejudice, our joy, our love. And I would be fearful that maybe some of that inner self might come out in a revealing way that would be embarrassing or hurtful. So I'm very mindful of that. And then the other aspect of this experience, it has caused me over the last several weeks to be much more self-reflective and to think about what experiences have you had, Bruce, in your life that would be of interest to others? What experiences in my life would relate to the current situation with our society? And how could I maybe express those in a way that would help others?
What do you want to get from this? And we have just about a minute left before we go to break, but is there anybody here that has some sort of an agenda? By the end of the year, you want to make sure that X has happened. And people are pursing their lips and shaking their heads. And Carl.
I think I would like to see people be able to break through that veneer and be honest about life. Just to be truly honest. Because there's so many hidden things, you know, that we deal with and that we hold back. So I'd like to see that. I'd like to see us be able to break through.
Breaking through the veneer. Lydia, 10 seconds.
I completely agree with Carl. But I also want to say, recognizing constantly that I'm wrong about things and that I misunderstand things, and I have to tie that into current political events, including the fact that I and many other people thought the election was going to go differently, and I and many other people thought the Mueller investigation was going to be
okay, and we're running out of time.
So things are different than they always seem they're going to be.
Good point. You're listening to Coastline Beneath the Surface. We're talking with Carl Lee, Lydia, Catherine, Joe, and Bruce. When we come back from this short break, we're going to tee up today's topic, the U.S.-Mexico border wall. Stay with us. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Beneath the Surface. Listening to Coastline Beneath the Surface. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. It's the third installment of a year-long experiment in civil discourse. We've assembled about a dozen people of different genders, ethnicities, ages, and political affiliations. We want to find out how the tone of their conversation changes, or doesn't, when this group, whose paths wouldn't likely cross otherwise, engages in sometimes difficult conversations. Lydia, Carl, Catherine, Joe, Lee, and Bruce are with us today, and it's time to find out where they stand on the U.S.-Mexico border wall. A reminder about the goal. We're not dissecting the truths and falsehoods surrounding the funding of the wall, the feasibility of the wall, or what either side might consider fake news about the issue. We are finding out where people stand and using that as our entree to the person, their background, their story, their lived experience. While this is a pre-recorded discussion, we welcome listener observations. You can send comments, which we might use for a future discussion on another show, to coastline@whqr.org. You can also post on WHQR's Facebook page and Instagram. President Donald Trump has declared a national emergency in order to find funding for a wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. Supporters of building the wall as soon as possible say thousands of people are pressing against the southern border, and too many are getting through illegally, bringing drugs and crime. Opponents of building this wall say it's a manufactured crisis to support the president's campaign agenda. What do you think needs to happen at the border, Lee?
Every country has the right to secure its borders. But I would like that stated to ask a question of the group. Is there anyone in this room who's majority Native American?
And that would be a no.
Then we're all from somewhere else.
And we'll get to that, but I'm asking you about your position on the wall.
The wall itself.
Yes.
I think there are places for hardened structures, whether you call it a wall or a fence or a barrier, whatever name you want to put to it. There are places where that's appropriate, And there are lots of places where I think it's probably not. I think you have problems with that stopping people on at numbers of places. Plus, the environmental impact is not worth the cost of the wall.
The wall that President Trump is talking about building.
From sea to shining sea?
Right.
I oppose that. As an idea.
Fair enough. And there's a lot to unpack here, as I said, in terms of the funding of it and whether it's a smart wall or a hard wall or, you know, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not necessarily going to do that because it'll take up the whole segment. But Catherine, where do you stand on President Trump's border wall?
We need something. As said, the mechanics of it, I'm not an engineer. I don't know what's going to work best, where, things like that. We'll leave that up to the experts. But I believe that we need something. If it were my home and there were strangers coming in and I didn't invite them and I had to feed and shelter and clothe and take care of the health care needs and education, taking it to a personal level, I'd be scared. Knowing that these people might be criminals, might be, I'm not saying they are, but there's that possibility.
So you support the border wall that Trump is trying to build at this point?
Of some sort,
of
yes.
some kind. Fair enough. Carl, where do you stand on the U.S.-Mexico border wall? Should it go up the way the president is talking about it, or do you think it's a bad idea?
I literally think that it's a bad idea. However, before I would even interject that, I'd ask, what's the purpose? Why? Why do we need a wall? Why do we need whatever?
And that's a really good question. So, Joe, I'm going to take a guess that you support President Trump's border wall. You support where he's going with that. If I'm right about that guess, why does the U.S. need to build that wall? Can you answer Carl's question?
I'll give it a shot. The reality of the fact is that people are coming into this country illegally and placing a tremendous burden on our society, on all levels of our society. And every country in the world has a responsibility to protect its citizenry. And I think that's what the president is doing.
And so when we talk about protecting the citizenry, is that a different idea from the burden that you're talking about? Are you talking about an economic burden?
I'm thinking of, first of all, this country was built on immigration. My grandparents,
where did they come from?
They came from Italy, of course. And the reality is, I looked at the history in the port of entry. Their names are written down there that they came legally and they had to do it.
Where did they come in?
They came in New York Harbor through the Statue of Liberty right there.
And about what year would that have been, roughly?
Grandfather came in the late 1800s, and my grandmother came in the early 1900s.
And they came in legally?
Yes, they did.
So let me jump to Carl for a second. Carl, do you know how your ancestors got here or where they came from?
There's a great probability to it that they came on slave ships. So that would be my only, I have no other, not that we have not cross-gened or had mixes of various types during those years, but I would say most of my ancestors probably came on a boat.
Fair enough. And you,
unwillingly.
And you were saying you don't know why we need the wall. Did Joe answer your question? About?
Actually, no.
Okay.
Because my question is, what problem is the wall supposed to solve? And once we understand what that problem is that the solving solution of that problem? That's the part I want to understand. I clearly don't understand how a wall is going to affect the fact that there's thousands of people in this country that don't belong here.
So what's the problem that we're trying to solve with the wall? Bruce, I'm going to guess. I'm not going to guess. Where do you stand on the wall? What's your position?
Well, I'm not going to answer directly, Rachel. I think we need a barrier. I won't call it a wall. I think we need to get away from ego-driven debate and haranguing about this wall and shift our entire discussion to immigration.
And we will. But I think Carl raised a very good question. What's the problem that we're trying to solve? So, Catherine, can you address that?
Well, I keep thinking of the MS-13. We have grandchildren.
You're talking about the gangs.
The gangs. They live on Long Island, where we know there's a proliferation of the gangs. They are coming in illegally. They're bringing the drugs that are killing, the opioid crisis and those kinds of things. Not everybody. Again, that's always the question. Well, not everybody, but some of them are, and we don't know who. So I'm scared for my family. I don't want them on Long Island being murdered by MS-13 gangs who are in their neighborhood. So I think that we have to prevent some of that.
So this is about security, and it's
security.
About protecting...
Yeah.
U.S. citizens and members of your own family. Lee.
I tend to agree with Catherine and Joe that securing the border is an important thing. I think that there are more effective ways than a wall. And if we could sit down, if people were willing to sit down with one another and say, well, what is the most rational way of doing this? How do we, because most illegal immigrants come through ports of entry rather than across the border, and because most of the drugs do the same thing, walls, to my mind, won't stop that. But if you could sit down together and say, where a barrier is right, use a barrier. Where drones or surveillance is better, use that. Then we might get somewhere.
And Joe, you have your hand up.
The data that has been presented over the years in terms of numbers of coming people coming into this country illegally where barriers have been built has reduced illegal immigration in those particular areas by over 90%. And I think that's, you know, a positive step. In terms of the points of entry, if we can have folks coming through the points of entry and going through the regular natural process, it would help control what Kathy and everyone else is concerned about, the safety issue. And I think that's the point.
So it sounds like the concerns, Catherine, are the same. It's just really a question of how you address those concerns.
Well, the thing that bothers me is that I really hear over and over from both sides of the argument, it's like one way or no way. We can do it all. This is America. Why do we think that just one answer is the answer? Yes, there's a lot of different things, the wall being part of it. But we're not saying all or nothing for the wall. We're saying, let's do it all. We need to.
Lydia, do you support President Trump's wall the way he is setting it out there?
Reiterating some of the points that Lee made, it's not so much that I don't support a solid barrier. It's that, is that money being spent effectively to build a solid barrier? We do need to secure our borders. And, you know, I think data also shows that drones and, you know, other digital surveillance devices may be more effective. Most immigrants that come in and illegally overstay a visa that came in on airplanes. So, I mean, it's a multi-pronged effort.
Why? Well, let's just do a thought experiment for a second and say that money is not an issue. We can pay for the wall. There's no problem. There's no wasting of money. Let's just take that out of the equation. Do you support or oppose the wall?
I guess going back to what Catherine was saying, in my personal experience, I don't experience the current immigrant situation as being a crisis. I don't feel personally threatened. I don't see drugs are affecting people I know. They are not affecting people I know. I know a lot of Mexican families that are you know, have family values, that are good people that have helped out my family. So I just don't experience it as a crisis. Things that I think money should be spent on that are, you know, a bigger crisis are, what about green infrastructure we have?
Okay, we took the money out of it. So I'm just asking how you feel about the wall. Lee.
Having worked in California, Southern California and South Texas, I know a lot of the Mexican families there and who work hard and try to make a life, and some were there legally, some illegally, but to directly answer your question, no matter how free a wall is, there are places where it's environmentally irresponsible to put a wall, and frankly, I prefer butterflies over a lot of people.
Carl, do you have concerns? If we took the money piece out of it and the wall was free, what concerns would you have about building the wall? Would you still oppose it?
I still yet have not ascertained what the purpose of the wall is.
So when Catherine says she's worried about her family members and the safety of her family members because of gangs coming in through the borders,
I don't see the wall having anything to do with that. In fact, all this conversation to me, the wall has nothing to do with. The wall was something that was projected. It was like somebody put up a screen and just shot the wall up on it. That to me was a detraction from being able to solve what the real problem is. Once we get to what the real problem is, then I think we'll be okay. The wall has led all of us on a wild goose chase, and we're all chasing some wall around like we're crazy. But the wall means nothing. It's just a word, wall. And once that word was said, either one group grabbed it or one group didn't grab it, and everybody ran off talking about the wall. But what the real problems are, what the real issues are, aren't being resolved because everybody's busy looking at the wall.
Bruce.
Carl expressed it better than I could earlier. And that is, the wall has given us kind of a false issue which has taken us away from our real responsibility. And our responsibility rests in the fact that we have a wonderful country and a nation here that historically has accepted people. And we are not dealing with the immigration issue, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Burma, or whether it's Mexico. And we need to decide, since our nation is such a desirable place to come to, how are we going to regulate and accept and work with immigrants who come to our shore? Who's going to come?
So,
and that's the real issue.
That's an excellent question. So let's pose that question. Some people argue that the United States today is a different country than it was when ancestors came, you know, when our ancestors came 150, 100, 200 years ago, in that kind of time frame. Is it a different country? Is it time to pull up the drawbridge, in a sense? Are we full? Catherine?
No, I don't believe we're full, and I think we should always be open to new and different ideas and peoples from all over the world. I've been a nurse for 50 years, and believe me, when I look at people, I don't see where you're from or what color you are or anything else. Your blood is red. You know?
Where did your ancestors come from?
Ireland. I'm 100% Irish, which is very unusual. We had the DNA done, my sister, and nobody is 100% anything. I'm 100% Irish.
When did your ancestors come to the U.S.?
Well, my father always said that his ancestors were horse thieves in Ireland and came over to escape prison, but they was all in the 1800s. We've been here for many generations.
Mm-hmm. So you think that there should be continued
Absolutely.
Immigration.
Absolutely. But done legally.
Well, let me ask you this. What if the border wall was put up at the northern border? Does it change the picture? Do we need a wall at the U.S.-Canada border? I mean, there are people coming in illegally all the time from Canada. We know that, too. Is there a concern there?
Well, we haven't heard of the caravans and things like that coming from the northern border right now. The problem in the volume is at the southern border.
Lydia.
I think part of the, you know, what we're talking about in, you know, North American Free Trade Agreement is that products and goods can move freely across the American and Mexican border because labor is more, you know, more inexpensive there. But we don't want people coming. We want our goods to be made inexpensively in the South and then brought freely into the North so that, you know, we can have more inexpensive prices. So that's more of a, you know, human rights issue or a human rights issue than I guess talking about should there be a border between Canada and the United States, but it's just a different issue. There's high quality of life in Canada, a low population. There may be some immigration from Canada, but not nearly as much as from the South.
So you think it's not even the same issue?
It's not the same issue because people aren't from Canada, aren't fighting for a better quality of life.
Carl.
But I would like to say quickly again, no one was concerned about a wall on the southern border until that was projected. It was projected as something that was needed. It was no conversation to it. Nobody talked about it until 2016. People started talking about a wall.
So in the 30 seconds we have left, what's the problem then, as you define it, that people are trying to solve?
The immigration problem is the problem that's trying to be solved. The people who are here that shouldn't be here, the people who got here and shouldn't have gotten here, that's the problem. If we go to that, I mean, I'm like Catherine. If M13 or whatever their names are, if they're doing bad, let's find them and get rid of them. Goodbye. But a wall is not going to stop them from coming.
You're listening to Coastline Beneath the Surface. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. When we come back from this short break, we'll take the experiment in a different direction, and we'll hear from a listener. If you'd like to weigh in with your own observation, we might discuss your point in a future show. You can reach us at coastline@whqr.org or on WHQR's Facebook page or Instagram. Stay with us. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. To Coastline Beneath the Surface. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. It's the third edition of a year-long experiment in civil discourse. We've assembled about a dozen people of different genders, ethnicities, ages, political affiliations. We want to find out how the tone of their conversation changes or doesn't when this group, whose paths might not otherwise cross, engage in sometimes difficult conversations. Today, we're spending an hour with half of our group. Joe, Carl, Catherine, Lydia, Lee, and Bruce are with us. These conversations are pre-recorded, and while we can't take live calls or emails, if you want to weigh in, you can do that at coastline@whqr.org or on WHQR's Facebook page or Instagram. We might read your comment as part of the next show. Again, this series, Beneath the Surface, is an experiment. The idea of civil discourse is an experiment. So now we're trying a mini experiment. We want to see if we can embody civil discourse. Practicing civility is actually quite easy. That's just self-control. That's usually only required for a few minutes until you're back with only like-minded people and you can freely ridicule and then dismiss the other side's point of view. Going deeper, for real, is hard. So now we're gonna see how much we really understood about other people's point of view from the last segment. Everyone weighed in with their opinions on the U.S.-Mexico border wall. So, Lee, I'm going to start with you because you're an actor, so this might be a little bit easier for you. I don't know. We'll see. This is difficult stuff. But take Catherine's position on the wall and, first of all, explain briefly from a policy standpoint what you think her position is. And then explain why you think she believes that.
What I heard was that from her personal experience and she has seen dangerous things happening to the country. People coming in particularly, I believe she referred to MS-13, the gangs that have come in that are on Long Island, that people who bring in drugs, illicit drugs to the country, that they're coming in, and that what I heard was very interesting from Catherine is saying it could be all one thing, another. It doesn't have to be one thing or another. It should be everything. Should be in the mix.
In terms of the wall.
In terms of how to secure the border. And I think there is, and I'm not sure if I understood that correctly, but that's what I heard. And so does that answer your question?
Let me ask you, Catherine, do you think that Lee captured your concerns and what you think needs to happen with the border wall? Is there anything that he missed, or is there anything you think he still doesn't really understand about how you're coming at this?
No, I think he captured it pretty well. I do believe that we need it all, and I believe that the wall is part of the all that we need to control what's going on, because it does affect us.
So now, Catherine, congratulations, Lee. You passed that test. Catherine, take Carl's position. Mm-hmm. So first of all, tell us what you think Carl believes about what the policy should be on the border wall, and then tell us why you think he sees it that way.
Well, I guess ultimately he is against the wall, but I think he's at the point of just questioning the why, which is more important to him than whether or not we have a wall, is why do we need it? And maybe when we get those to that point, we can understand better the solution. We can't get to a solution till we know what the problem is. And we haven't truly defined and clarified the problem, all of the possible solutions, and the wall being one of them. I see the wall as one of them, but we've mentioned several other things. So I think that it was my feeling that Carl is still trying to find the why.
Carl, is that a thorough and fair assessment of your position and how you think about the issue? Is there anything that Catherine missed, or anything you think she doesn't really understand about where you're coming from on this?
No, not really. I think she captured it quite well. The only thing I would add is that I think as a whole, as Americans, we've allowed ourselves to be fed something, which is leading us in all types of directions and leading us against each other, for each other, in all kinds of directions. And if we could stop looking at what has been projected in front of us and actually look at what the real situation is, I think it'll make a difference.
And you did say something like that in the last segment. You did say something like you think it's become emblematic of something else.
Yes.
Like, we're not really talking about a wall.
No.
We're talking about something else. And Catherine is nodding. So that makes sense to you.
Yes.
So, Carl, let's think about what Joe has said. And if you encapsulated his position on the wall, what does he think should happen? And why do you think he thinks it?
I think because he didn't really expound that strongly, but I think he's for the wall. He wants a wall, and he thinks it's about the security of our country, that we need that wall to secure our borders, to make sure that people don't come in that shouldn't be here. That's basically what I got. I might have missed something, but.
What do you think Carl's missing here in terms of understanding you on this issue?
No, I think he has it right. I do believe that we need the wall for the reasons he stated. And I see the challenge of the wall as a piece of the solution. So I think he captured it pretty well.
You did. Okay, fair assessment. So Joe, take Lydia. Where does Lydia stand on the wall, and why does she think that?
Well, I think Lydia has mixed emotions based on some of the comments she made in terms of, you know, what's happening in the country today. I think she she really believes there's a need for positive immigration and the contribution that the immigrant makes to this country. I don't think she sees the wall as the answer to solving the problem of immigration. And I really believe that she feels strongly about that. She sees a combination of things. And I think she supports immigration very strongly.
Lydia, how accurate is that description?
Completely. Completely
and
accurate.
You think it's thorough, too?
I think it's thorough. Way to go.
All right. So now, Lydia, take Bruce. What does Bruce think about the wall and why does he think it?
I think Bruce and Carl have a similar opinion in that they think that the discussion of the wall is really sort of a distraction from the real issue of, you know, what the wall signifies versus what the problem is. So I think, you know, Bruce's questions are really, you know, is immigration from the southern border bad? Is it good? Why is it dangerous? Is it dangerous? And, you know, what does Trumpian rhetoric mean? I mean, is he talking about drugs? But is he also saying, you know, really, really negative words like rapists? What are we really talking about when we're talking about the wall is what I think Bruce is asking.
Bruce, how did Lydia do?
She did well. That's a fair assessment.
Okay. Is there anything that was left out that you think would flesh out your position on the wall more?
Well, I believe that we need to address the broader policy issue in a thoughtful way with our legislators and look at the total immigration problem and see if we can get a set of policies and laws and procedures that regulate all immigration. I don't look at just Mexico as the primary problem. We've been given a head fake here in a sports analogy to look at this wall. And as you know, I work with refugees, so I have a particular point of view.
Yes. You're listening to Coastline Beneath the Surface. It's the third in a series of 12 conversations in which we bring together people whose paths might not normally cross, particularly those of varied political affiliations. With us right now, Carl, Lydia, Lee, Catherine, Bruce, and Joe. Bruce, as you look around the table, who do you think you have the most divergent opinion from on the U.S.-Mexico border wall? Who do you think you might disagree with the most?
This isn't a popularity assessment, is
it? No, it's really not. This is about cracking that thin veneer and getting to the real scary stuff.
Well, that's a difficult question because as soon as I answer it, there is a sense that maybe I don't like that person or maybe I'm against all of their views. But I would say Lydia, as thoughtful as she is, and I have the most divergent opinions. And that doesn't mean I don't like her. I like her and respect her views. She's very articulate. But I think our views are divergent, and I think that's all right.
And that's interesting that you bring up concerns about her taking offense or thinking that you don't like her because you disagree with a political viewpoint. And that's something that, Carl, you raised in our very first social event. You talked about why people can't disagree, why we have to make it mean something else. Lydia, how do you receive that?
It's fine. But I guess I'm surprised because I don't disagree with you. So I would like you to explain a little bit more about what you mean.
Yeah, Bruce, what?
Because I agree with you.
Tell us.
I don't feel divergent from your feelings.
Tell us what you see in her position that you don't agree with.
Well, that's another difficult question.
And it's just going to get harder. This is still the easy part.
Well, some of your opinions about people come from your sense. Not so much what they say, but we communicate with feelings. We communicate sense. We communicate with body language. And all of these things. And first of all, I need people like Lydia to talk with and to speak with. But I think the reason for the divergence is I believe that she comes from a very liberal viewpoint on politics.
Is that accurate, Lydia?
I consider myself a moderate.
Okay.
But sure.
Okay. And I come from the more conservative side. But now that I talk, I think we are closer to the middle, maybe, than we both realize.
Fair enough. As we've said, our goal here is to understand the human being behind the positions. And I think it's important to start to get used to the idea that disagreeing on a position doesn't have to say anything about what you think about that person or that person's value. Arthur Brooks, I think, writes about this culture of contempt that we've developed and how it's become so polarizing just to voice another point of view because folks tend to dismiss people as worthless. I mean, they take the position and the person, put them in the same bin, and toss the whole thing out. And that is exactly what we're doing here. It's what we're working against because it's the divergent viewpoints that enrich all of us. So I want to talk just briefly. Carl, did you have something to say?
I was going to say, though, while that's true, it's the most un-American thing that I perceive because our country was supposedly founded on our ability to interact with each other, understand each other, talk with each other, have the right to have the religion I wanted or the belief that I wanted or whatever. And then we were supposed to be able to say, yes, we all accept these things, but we are all Americans and we stand with each other and stand by each other. But it seems that we've allowed other people to think for us, allowed other people to project things on us or out there, and we look at it and say, oh, yeah. And we forget that that's not who we really were. That's not who we really are.
Catherine.
I just want to make comment regarding that because I know I've been hearing lately about how we have our tribe and we all belong to a tribe. And, you know, when I first heard that, I said, oh, my goodness, which tribe do I belong to? And I'm trying to figure it out because we all belong to several tribes. And if we can't get along with one another, then where are our tribes and how have we defined them? Some people are so isolated into their own tribe that they cannot interact with people outside the tribe.
And it is very easy for us to sit around this table and say, it's good to talk to people who have differing point of views. It's good to seek out people who don't look like you or sound like you or think like you. But do we actually do it? I mean, how many people, I know this is one of the survey questions that all of you answered in response to our producer's query about kind of where you're coming from on a lot of issues. But do you really have friends from different political parties? Do you really? Is anybody here really tight with someone who is absolutely divergent politically? Lee?
Sure. There are a couple of people in the theater community who are somewhere to the right of Attila the Hun, who I happen to like very much. And so, yes.
Joe.
I am right to the right of Attila the Hun. I'm very active politically in running campaigns and that type of thing. However, I am an individual, and I do have the ability to establish relationships. I think I'm blessed because I am able to interact in a positive way with many, many people. And if the divergence in terms of our political view are an issue, I don't discuss it. I just accept the person as a face value, and we get along great. And I think that's what we need more of.
And we are out of time, so I'm going to get to our listener Churchill's comment about race in some of these discussions in a future on-air discussion. That is this edition of Coastline Beneath the Surface. Bruce, Carl, Joe, Catherine, Lee, and Lydia, thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you.
Our producer is Rachel Keith. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caitlin Freund is our web and social media master. Ken Campbell is technical director. Beneath the Surface is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast, find it on the HQR app, or just tune in for the rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 3. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Beneath the Surface.